You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks. We are not ever stopping watching movies. I think this might be the first year that we actually successfully have a daily Fantasia podcast.
Well, we're not there yet. We're
close, though. This is Tuesday. We have 8 more days to go to keep it up.
So, what do we see, Keith?
We watched Let Us Pray with the guy from Game of Thrones, Davos Seaworth, who I cannot remember his name, but he's like the star.
That was very professional. Ray Brunton, maybe?
Nope.
Nope. Let me try that again.
You know the guy. We'll get the name
Liam
later.
Liam Cunningham.
Liam Cunningham. That sounds about right.
Yep.
Yeah, he was the star of the film.
Mm-hmm. I saw Devil's Mile, which was a. I'm gonna think about this for a second.
Okay.
Why don't you talk a little bit about Let Us Pray?
We're gonna talk about Let Us Pray. Okay. Yep. So Let Us Pray starts off. I'm gonna describe the opening sequence of it because. I feel really sets the tone.
All right.
There's this little almost like an intro to like an industrial metal song, like doo 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 doo, and then like a big water crashes up on the craggy cliffs of Ireland, and then a dude in a trench coat is just there with both fists in the air, and then he just strolls into this town with this music.
Is there a metal refrain?
No.
As soon as he's there with his fists up,
it just stays doo-doo-doo, and you're and it just keeps cutting, showing that the town seemingly is fucking empty, and then it cuts to a cop who's getting ready. She wakes up suddenly, and then she just starts doing push-ups with her fists, and you're what the fuck?
Yeah, okay.
You missed the introductions.
I sure did.
You didn't get to see this shit, and then it turns out that it's the cop's first day on the job in this little small town of Ireland. The guy who I'm gonna refer to, he does not have a name in the film, so I feel bad referring to him as
Davos.
As Davos.
All right, whatever.
So the dark fellow who never gets a name in the movie.
Nope, mysterious stranger here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So mysterious stranger encounters this girl on the street. Mm-hmm. There's a guy who's drinking and driving, who seems to sort of hit him, and it turns out it's the cop's first day on the job.
Yep.
And then it seems that there's he definitely seems interested in bringing up some of the wrongs of the people in the cop station and in the prison.
Bringing up the wrongs? In a philosophical sense?
No, if you touch him, your most terrible sin is just replayed in your head.
Huh.
Yep.
So a magic man.
He is a magic man.
Okay.
And it's a little bit magical. And what ends up happening throughout the film is basically fucking all hell breaks loose in the most explosive ways imaginable.
Okay.
Every single solitary person who has done something terrible almost goes and does something more terrible.
Uh-huh.
And you end up with this sort of weird, dark anti-hero who's sort of egging on the cop to sort of help him get vengeance. But the cop's sort of hang on to her morality as it goes.
Interesting.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. I actually will say I really, really enjoyed this movie, and we had a conversation with that girl.
Uh-huh.
Was that girl the filmmaker?
Gabrielle.
Yep. She really, really, really didn't enjoy it, and I was and I really did.
Yep.
And I was trying to probe why she wouldn't enjoy it, and then I realized that she didn't read comic books and stuff growing up, and then I realized that this is
maybe she did.
No, she said I did not read comic books growing up. I did not have that Marvel superhero Wolverine. Fucking Deadpool,
anti-hero
Lobo, every character from Image. And, that's what this is. The dialogue is pretty fucking cheesy.
Sure.
Everything is super heavy-handed.
Yeah.
The guy is just, a dark badass with, dark badass one-liners all the time.
Yep.
The hero is, I'm so fucking stoic. I mean, the policewoman is, super, super stoic. Everybody's, a caricature of a thing. And it's, when I thought about it, I was, that's why I enjoyed it. Is that it was just kind of a one-shot comic book. This could have easily been, a 5 or 6 issue comic telling the exact same story, and like that heavy-handedness wouldn't have been as, I guess, glaring because you'd be in a, you'd be reading a comic book.
I would say that is an absolutely excellent way of putting the feel of this movie. It was like a heavy comic book.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
totally.
And if you're not ready for that, like if you're not ready for the fact that the dialogue is very, like, there's not even much dialogue. No, every line is
a lot of cheesy one-liners.
Yeah. A lot of cheesy one-liners and a lot of like, and if you start to think of it, you're like, yeah, that's how comic book characters talk to each other.
Yeah, for sure.
And yeah, that's what I'm saying. So like it is very dark. Mm-hmm. Shit goes really wrong.
It's violent.
Very, very, very violent. Like the... Like, it was a proper hardcore...
There's a couple of proper kills.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's, like, a lot of, like, hardcore violence that splashes around on the on screen. And I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Yep. I'd put it into a... If I were to put it in terms of, like, its tone, although not nearly as... not nearly as successful, I would think something a little bit like High Tension. A little bit. Like, in its tone.
And it's but like dialed down. You like if High Tension is a 10, this one is a 4.
Yeah, so exactly. But I'm just saying but I'm just saying like tone wise, like how like High Tension doesn't have great dialogue, doesn't have a lot of dialogue, and you're just sort of like shit happens, and you're just like, I guess this is happening now. You know, and it's like
she's got a table saw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's it. And you're just sort of like everything that happens also in Let Us Pray is just sort of like well, I guess this is up. This is going down. Yeah. So it's like in tone. Similar to High Tension.
Also, the violence levels for every character in this movie just happen to be like the most insanely violent, murderous people that you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that we're ever collecting.
Yeah, exactly. We're gonna definitely get into that.
Yeah, I don't
want to
say more than that.
But yeah, exactly. But the violence is ratcheted up to like 10, if not 11, in lots of ways. Like one of the scenes towards the end. Does not need to be as crazy as it is, but it is.
Yeah, we'll get there soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Devil's Mile, having meditated upon it whilst you were speaking there, the here's the basic setup, okay? You got three criminals who have kidnapped, they've kidnapped some people, and they're delivering the kidnappees to a crime boss who's super evil, okay?
Okay.
They're running late on their delivery, so they take a shortcut. Down this road.
The Devil's Mile.
The Devil's Mile. And it turns out that the shortcut takes them into a weird, phantasmic kind of place. A little bit, we were talking the sci-fi show.
Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah, but except the adult version of that.
Twilight Zone.
This is a little Twilight Zone-y.
Yeah. I always said Are You Afraid of the Dark because there's actually an Are You Afraid of the Dark where there's a haunted taxi cab that gets bad kids and tries to teach them a lesson because they're lost in the woods.
Yeah.
Happens.
Anyway, this is a little more Twilight Zone-y, and it takes them down this thing. The tone of the characters is a lot like... Do you remember Sushi Girl from last year?
Mm-hmm.
Where,
2 years ago.
2 years ago, where the characters all have these their lines are just too badass, too slick, too over the top. But if you're into that, if you want to get into that zone where all of the characters are a little like we were just describing for Let Us Pray, where everything is at a comic book level of one-offy cheesiness. So add to that a whole bunch of filters to focus in on people, make the colors kind of punch out a little bit too much, but heavily, heavily upped.
Right.
Also,
kind of seems like you're trying to make a little bit like a live action anime, maybe. I don't know if I'm just if I'm projecting that.
Yeah, it's a bit of.
But I'm just saying, badass slickness with cool colors and whatever else like that. I'm going for more of an animated style because I thought that about Sushi Girl also.
Yeah.
Where it's not it is live action, but it's not necessarily it's
real.
It's not trying to be real either.
Yeah. This one definitely was not either. A little bit the characters because the three of them are all not quite super villains, but they're getting up there. Is a little bit Rob Zombie's The Devil's Rejects.
Okay.
Right? Where they have these super anti-heroes, whatever, and then you're sort of supposed to be rooting for them.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, that is happening here. Although there are some twists to that. There are some characters that are not quite all the way evil. But they get into this certainly a supernatural encounter. They have to struggle to deal with the supernatural encounter.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I was not 100% enraptured by this movie. I got a little bit bored here and there when the dialogue was just getting all the more cheesy, all the more over the top. I'm just like, hey, shut the fuck up. But the points where the movie was at its highest points when the spooky ghost tension stuff started happening. Because you're invested enough in the characters at that point that when they change in response to the supernatural events going on, it's like they're not stuck in being these super cool effigies. You know, they actually get a little more real when they're put into this horrible situation.
So they actually panic and stuff.
They actually panic and stuff. You know, which I was quite delighted.
They lose their cool a little.
Yeah, exactly. And also the like special effects that they used for the ghosts were like way cooler than I was expecting. I was expecting more low budge, and they pulled off something that was like a little Ju-on-y, a little like
yeah.
So in
it was it, what is this production from?
Canada, I think.
Okay.
I just said that. I don't know. For some reason, maybe they were talking about Toronto at the start of the film. They don't. I don't think they. I'm not seeing it where it's from here, but it's definitely American.
North American. Yep.
Oh yeah, it is Canada.
Okay.
I was right. So, what else do I have to say about this? How can I recommend this? It's like it's a thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of spooky ghost stuff. Super cool, dark characters. If you liked any of the anti-villainy of Sushi Girl or of Devil's Rejects, then you must check this out. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for a funsy, maybe you're going to enjoy it, maybe you're going to shut it off Netflix night, this one is going to go there too. And cool. I would give it like more than neutral.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say about the same for Let Us Pray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, more above neutral. First of all, there's been, I feel like, a little bit of a drought in terms of like hardcore violent movies. I haven't seen anything.
That's true.
I haven't seen anything like hardcore violent like Let Us Pray in a while.
Yep.
Like, that's not Asian and way over the top, like
sort
of realistic hardcore violence, uh-huh. like in a while. So if you're also looking for something that you're like a little higher on the violence scale, if mm-hmm. that's how you like your horror, Let Us Pray.
Then Let Us Pray is definitely going to foot that. Devil's Mile doesn't quite hit that note. Where Let Us Pray goes more on the violent side, Devil's Mile goes a little bit more on the supernatural side, mm-hmm. a little Lost Highway kind of stuff also. Yeah. But
not to say Let Us Pray doesn't get supernatural.
Not that it does not, but. Less. It's very toned down with the...
Righto.
Yeah. What else do I have to say about that? I don't know. Do you want to spoil these things?
Sure do.
Let's do it.
These are the spoilers.
Okay, so Davos is a demon.
I don't know. He could have been some kind of angel of vengeance.
He's 100% a demon. Oh, this is the conversation, and I heard a couple people in the line, because we immediately got into line for Dead Snow, and a couple people also were thinking angel, uh-huh. and I'm like, he's not an angel. He does not give a shit about retribution. He's only there for evil souls. He's not trying to fucking make anybody better.
Uh-huh.
He's like to the guy who has a chance, he's like, you just haven't sinned enough yet for me to give a fuck.
Yep.
When you do sin enough, you're fucked. There is no forgiveness in this guy. Whereas if you're like this angel, you would have forgiveness. You're an angel.
So at the end, do you think the police chick becomes an angel?
Yeah.
Or does she become a demon?
I think she becomes kind of an angel because he's like... kind of giving her a million opportunities to be corrupted.
And she never takes them.
She never, ever takes them. Sure. So then he's like, even says, heaven and hell, we can fucking do this. If people are worth saving, you can save them. If they're not, I deal with that. So this is the deal. This is like jumping right to the end, what we're talking about.
This is the final scene.
But now here's the thing, everybody in the police station, the cops, and there's a few people that are arrested. There's one guy who beats his wife. There's one guy who hit a girl with his car.
There's one guy who murders gay men.
There's one guy who beats the fucking murders gay men and maybe some other people.
Yeah,
he's one of the
cops.
Didn't that
guy have, like, cut up bodies in his
fridge? Yep, sure did. And there's another guy who fucking murdered his entire family as a doctor, like, fucking completely grotesquely. The two cops fucking brutalized...
And then decide to kill somebody just to cover themselves up.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm just saying, like, in their past, brutalized the fuck out of a prisoner and just hung him.
Yep.
Because they, like, completely took this. So it's like, all these people, like we talked about in the beginning, have these, like, this
They're
level...
They're terrible people.
And a completely absurd level of violence.
Yeah.
That they all are just a part of. And the mysterious stranger is just there to be like, yeah, all these people are going to die before midnight and all these people are going to go to hell. Or like, sort of.
All of them are coming with me, kind of.
Well, but not even necessarily coming with me, right? Because it's like this black stuff just comes out and then they're fucking like melted and gone.
Yeah.
Like, and he's still there.
Yep.
These people are all just, I guess, too evil to be around or whatever. And he's like, he's really has dialogue where he's like, I don't give a fuck about retribution. This is only about vengeance. Like, this is only just... Or, I mean, forgiveness. Only retribution. Like,
right.
That's it. And I guess, like, the big... And I just want to talk about this.
Uh-huh.
So the guy that is, like, the hyper-Christian captain of the police team...
Ends up being the gay murderous.
Ends up being the gay murderous guy. And, like, I feel so bad for DDR, who we went to go see the movie with.
Because
he, like, walked out. He's like, I got to go take a pee. And in that moment...
He
ran out for, like, 5 seconds. And the police captain, who he has gone back to his home, it's revealed that he beats the shit out of gay people.
Yep.
Fucking has...
chopped up bodies in his fridge.
Whatever. Gets like a shotgun and is starting to just like only speak in scripture quoting.
And wraps himself in barbed wire all over his body.
Yeah, but we don't necessarily see that until he busts in with a fucking shotgun, wrapped himself in barbed wire with like a halo of barbed wire thorns around his forehead, just covered in his own blood and like the blood of, I guess, like his victims. And he's just sort of like, time to fucking clean up.
Yeah.
And just like starts killing or trying to kill fucking everybody. And you're like, whoa.
But yeah, the crazy level goes right up to
him. Yeah, exactly. That's it. And like, this is after we've seen a guy get his like his eye impaled on a fucking upside down table.
Yep.
And I think, and did someone get their face put off in a...
Oh yeah, the knife sharpener. That was later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the knife sharpener. What other crazy amounts of... kids, you find the body of a kid who's been... hung, another kid who had his head chopped
off.
Pretty
graphic shots of like the chopped up body parts all over in bags and cleaning up. And
yeah, exactly.
Like
that's it. The kid who has like his head sort of scalped off and decapitated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so,
his son.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they go
super gruesome.
Pretty fucking nuts with the violence, which is, and then they light everything on fire.
It was like refreshing in a way. You know, we haven't seen a lot of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And just to top things off, like I said, they light everything on fire.
Yeah.
So the entire scene has these incredibly violent people all trying to basically kill each other.
And not get burned.
And it's fucking great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Silly, a little bit.
Sure.
Like, definitely silly, because, I mean, it's sort of the mysterious stranger character seems to have, like, not necessarily mind control powers, but to, like, bring the person's sin, like, directly
to their mind.
But not just to their mind, but to the forefront where it, like, compels them to act.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, the guy who beats himself just fucking gets so enraged, he just starts running his head into the police bars and whatever else like that. The guy who's previously beat up and murdered a prisoner just gets ratcheted up, so now he's going to beat up and murder another prisoner. Like, he sort of, it doesn't necessarily seem like mind control.
But he, like, incites it.
Yeah, exactly, that's it. Yeah. He can bring the sin back all the time. So,
sure.
I thought it was good fun.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Now, The Devil's Mile?
They're
already ghosts.
No. So they had two Asian schoolgirls who were kidnapped in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of them getting into the Devil's Mile, they accidentally kill one of the girls. And then she becomes this, like, ghost of vengeance trapped with them on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out that there's a much bigger meta plot kind of going to this thing with a weird little element of time travel where every time that they, like, get out of the road, they're brought back to the start of the day where they got onto the road.
Mm-hmm.
And, the evil mobster guy that they're after, he is, like, a part of it and always murdering. So it turns out one of the three of them is actually an undercover cop.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, like, trying to trap this, like, the main mobster guy that they're delivering the Asian schoolgirls to.
All right.
And this is not super well defined in the film, but at the end of it, just that girl makes it out. The one who is a cop.
Mm-hmm.
She meets the mobster boss, and he's like, I know you were a cop. I know you've been a cop from the start, and murders her.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time she gets murdered, she wakes back up at the start of the day.
It's more Groundhog Day stuff.
A little bit, yeah. And, but, you know, this
Edge
really...
of tomorrow.
It's kind of weird that this comes in at the end, because, like, you get a hint that this is going on, but the, like, looping section of this doesn't really become a focus until, like, the last 15 minutes of the film.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, why this thing is going on and the consequences of it aren't really made that super clear.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's another level of spoiler. I'm not really going to do it. It's not really necessary. But there's another interesting twist to the end of this. And, but here's the thing. Like,
it seems like they made these twists, and the way you're talking about it, they didn't necessarily seem to fully succeed at capturing you with these twists.
That's the thing, yeah. Like all of this was interesting, you know, but I just wasn't captivated. And, is that a reason enough not to, like, be heartily excited about recommending the movie? Yeah, pretty much. That's exactly what that's for.
Correct.
Know? Yeah, but, like, there was still enough interesting stuff to go on here that, like, you should check it out if you get the chance. It was really weird. Had all these different little things going on, but I think you'll see when you see it why I'm not, like, glowingly recommending this thing.
Right.
Maybe even a little bit too much was going on.
Maybe it was overly ambitious. Maybe they had a lot of ideas and they maybe should have made, like, two or three movies and then so they threw it all in one.
I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, from what you're saying, it sounds like there's a lot going on, but it also sounds like it was maybe a first film, and maybe they were like, we're never going to get this much money again.
No, some of the names that were involved with this thing, the screenwriter was involved in X-Men Watchmen Project Hater.
Yeah.
Crazy. So anyway, the all of that said, I still had fun.
Okay.
I just don't know if it's like a, everybody go see this movie.
Cool.
I guess that's all I have to say about that. I want to say more, and I'm not even going to spoil the big twist at the end, because it was kind of cool, but...
All right. Sounds like a fun movie to watch with your friends.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
Both of these movies were. We watched the midnight screening of Dud Snow 2.
Red versus Dead.
And we watched a delightful little documentary about Canadian karate superstar Kung Fu Elliot.
Yes, we did, and oh my gosh, was that great.
It was awesome.
Coming up next!
Hey guys, it's me again. Just a quick reminder, 9to5.cc is a fan-made, fan-supported website. That means we don't have any sort of an advertising budget. The only way we really have to get our name out there is by our fans sharing us, liking us, and supporting us. So if you enjoy what we're doing, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, we're there. Tell your friends that this podcast is happening, then it's a lot of fun. Also, if you like what we're doing, we do have a podcast for the rest of the year, John and I, called 9to5 Entertainment System that we do with the other founders of the sites, Scott and Sophie. And we also have another podcast that we do through the rest of the year called Go Plug Yourself, for myself and Walter J. Ling. Talk to people that have interesting stuff coming up in Montreal. So once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're on both of them. If you see us at the festival, come say hey, and keep listening and keep enjoying the show. We're going to try to keep having episodes pretty much on a daily basis. Fantasia's been so great so far, so yeah, I'm done. Here we go. Thanks for listening.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.